It's good to praise the Lord. This is my first time here, and I feel at home. I see a lot of faces that I recognize, so I feel it's not like I'm among strangers. You know, we all love the Lord, and we love His Word. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking You and praising Your holy and righteous name. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this fellowship. Lord, we thank You that for the nuggets of truth, Lord, that You have hidden within Your Word, Lord. And it's such a joy to gather those truths up and just share them with our friends, with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, so that we all can just feast off Your Word. And Father, we just thank You again and again for that. And Lord, we ask, Father, that if anything is taught here, Lord, that is not in line with Your Word, Father, we ask that You would forgive. We thank You again and again that You do hear us and that You do all things after the counsel of Your will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to be speaking from John chapter 10. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, the Lord tells us a lot of things in this particular chapter. Of course, we can't go through the whole chapter, but we'll just go through a few of the verses that are here. And maybe next time we'll continue on. I have to keep an eye on the time, but I'm going to read the first six verses from John chapter 10. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." Now, the Lord is telling us that He's zeroing in on these first six verses. We know that the whole Bible is a parable, but He's letting us know that this is a parable that He's saying. These first six verses, or first five verses, is a parable. And so that we're going to take a look into what it is He's saying here, so that we can try to glean the spiritual part to this. In verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, who's the door? And he tells us who the door is in verse 7. of John chapter 10. He says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So we know that the door is representative of the Lord Jesus. Now, he's talking about a sheepfold, and that he being the door to the sheepfold. That's where the sheep are. And if you climb up some other way, then you're a thief and a robber. Now, I wouldn't want to be a thief or a robber. But what he's saying here, he's talking about salvation. This is a warning. If your salvation is based on another way, because the Lord Jesus said in John 14, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So there's only one way. And then he says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man in Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end, there's destruction. So there's only one way to get to heaven. If your salvation is based on any other way other than through the door, and the door being the Lord Jesus Christ, then he's telling you that you're a thief and a robber. Now, a salvation that does not deal in grace, God's grace, then it deals with man's thinking or man-made gospel. Now, the Lord tells us about different gospels that in Galatians chapter 1, in Galatians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 6. He says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Now, the Lord doesn't want us to miss this. Because he says it, and then he turns around and say it again to make sure that it sinks in. Because this is very serious. Everything in the Bible is serious, but sometimes God put emphasis on things like this here, this other gospel. It's close to the gospel, but it's not the gospel of grace. It's a gospel of works is what it is. It's a gospel of works. And if it's a works gospel, then that would mean that you're trying to climb up or get to heaven, not through the door, but through some other way, some other gospel, another gospel, you see, which is a false gospel. Because if it's not the true gospel, then it's a false gospel. And so God tells us a lot about false gospels, false teachers. If it's not the right way, it's the wrong way, and there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. And so Christ is the only way. He's the door. He is the one that has paved the way for our salvation. It's his salvation plan. And it's the only way to heaven. The only way is through the door. And we know now who is the door. Christ is the door. Now, let's take a look at some of the words in this verse. Okay, now we're going to look at this word, climbeth. The word climbeth. Now, it's only translated as climbeth right here. Now, in John chapter 2, turn to John chapter 2 and verse. John chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Now, this word went up is the same word as climbeth in chapter 10, verse 1, the verse that we're looking at. That word went up. Now, notice what they are doing here. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Now, those kind of things shouldn't be done in God's house. You see? And so those are things of men is what it is. See, so later on in chapter 10, he says that all those that came before me, let's take a look at that. Verse 8, John chapter 10, verse 8, he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You see, a man-made doctrine, what it does is it steals God's glory from him. See, it takes the glory from the Lord. In other words, it's not by grace, but it has man's flavor in that, whatever that particular gospel is, and it tends to not give all the glory to the Lord or praise or honor, and it wants to keep it for itself. You see, it wants to keep God, stealing God's glory or robbing him of his praise. Oh, I did something. Oh, I accepted Christ. The free will gospel would proclaim, or I got baptized. Oh yeah, I speak in tongues. That's what they would proclaim, and then they would be proud about this or that or the other. I did this, or I did that, or I did the other. That's stealing God's glory, robbing him of his praise, is what it is. So you're God is saying, all that ever came before me is a thief and a robber. And these men that are here in the temple, they were selling doves and doing things, money changing, and all kinds of things, and that's when the Lord Jesus, he was saying, "Look, my house is a house of prayer. You're not supposed to be really doing these things in there like that. Just like what's going on today, all kinds of things are going on inside of it. That's why the Lord is judging the churches now." Okay, so let's go back to John chapter 10 and see. Now, in verse 2 he says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Let's take a look at this word shepherd. Let's look in Psalms 80. Psalms 80 gives us a good description of just who the shepherd is. In Psalms 80, God tells us who the shepherd is. And in we're going to read verses 1 to 3. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Excuse me. Is there any doubt as to who the shepherd is? In verse 1, he's talking about this shepherd that dwelleth between the cherubims. Now, the cherubims, they were a picture of God, and that's where the mercy seat was, on the Ark of the Covenant. And so there, the shepherd of Israel, God's people, not just, but these are the spiritual Israel. Okay, so we want to show that the shepherd is the Lord. He's the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 10 and 11. It reads, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. See how tenderly the Lord cares for us? We're his sheep. He's the shepherd. And we're his sheep. A shepherd, when the sheep, they go astray, and the shepherd has to go find them, and he has that staff with the crook on the end, so if the sheep gets caught in a crevice or something, he can reach down there and grab them and pick them up, and he bring them back to the fold. They get in trouble all the time. But if you notice, like, sheep are not... they're not aggressive animals. They're real timid creatures. Very timid. If a sheep gets a little burr or something on it, it starts whining. Bam, bam, and it'll whine like that until the shepherd comes over and find out what's wrong with it. And he'll clean it off and take the burr off of it, and he just go back playing and all. But he don't hunt a deuster. All he do is just eat grass. That's all he do. And sheep are not really smart animals. As a matter of fact, if they're thirsty, the shepherd can lead those sheep down to where the water is. First of all, the water has to be still water. It can't be like, you know, real, because they're scared of things like that. He can get within 10 feet of the water and turn that lead sheep, and he'll walk around and follow the other sheep until he dropped dead of thirst, and he's only 10 feet away from the water. That's how we are. We're so helpless like that without the shepherd. Without the Lord Jesus, he cares for us. He cared for us so much. that he laid his glory aside and he came down through 42 generations and he went to the cross. Before he even knew us. I'm sorry. Before we were born. Before we even knew him. Because he knew us before the foundation of the world. How that happened, I have no idea. My mind just gets boggled when I try to figure out, how did he know me? How did he know? When you get into your salvation, when you get into how it is that you became saved, you know you were elected, but it gets to a point where you just have to let it go. I can't do it. And you just have to praise the Lord for that he did elect you to salvation. If you are one of God's children. Okay, so let's move on, and we'll move on to back to John chapter 10. So we know who the door is, we know who the shepherd is. And in the verse that we read, we know who the sheep are. And we know that from time to time, the Lord Jesus, he's the sheep also, because John the Baptist, when he saw him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so, let's look at verse 3. He says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Now, who is the porter? Now, it's only translated as porter right here in John 10. That's the only place it's translated as porter. But it's also in Mark, let's turn to Mark 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 34. "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." I'm sorry, it is translated as porter also here. This is the other place. But in John 18, John chapter 18, and verse John chapter 18 and I'll start reading at verse 16. "But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter." Now this phrase, "kept the door," that "kept the door," is the same word that's used in John chapter 10 for porter. So the porter is someone that keepeth the door, which would be the Holy Spirit. Doesn't he keep us? He keeps us. The Lord keeps us by his Spirit. You really can't separate the Lord from his word, from the Bible says that God is God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we can't really understand how he can be three persons, because sometimes he speaks of himself as, well, he has many, many names. Jehovah. I could stand here all day, more than likely, and just go through all the names that he has. The door, the shepherd. These are just only a few that we're talking about now. But somehow, because I don't really understand the Godhead, how he could be one God, but yet he reveals himself in three different persons. I can't understand that. Okay, now this next phrase, he says, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. Now that's a very, very important or interesting phrase. All the phrases are important. But this is very interesting. And the sheep hear his voice. Now, if we are the sheep, his sheep, we're going to hear his voice. Now, it's not a voice in my head or an audible voice that they would hear in the Old Testament, different things like that. But in the New Testament, this is his voice, the Word of God. This is the voice of the Lord. Never let anyone tell you that God told me to tell you something, this, that, or the other. Because this is the voice of the Lord, his word. And God's sheep hear his voice. See, everybody don't hear his voice. Everybody don't hear his voice. I know when I was coming up, I would, you know, my grandmother would take me to church all the time, and I would hear the word of God, but it didn't have it. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know him. But now, after all these years, now when I read his word, it's not the same. It's not the same. You hear his voice. When he calls you, you're going to come. You're going to come to him. But you're going to do that in his time, in his time schedule, his time frame, not in yours. You cannot choose. You probably can't say, well, on this particular day and hour and time, I came to the Lord. No. Just like in John 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. Let's turn to John chapter 3. When he was talking to Nicodemus, and he was talking to him about being born again. Let's start here in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now here it is here. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. See, we're born of the Spirit. If you are saved, if you are born of the Spirit, you don't know when that Spirit came, when the Holy Spirit came to you. You don't know when God saved you. Put it like that. Because in the secular world, they say, well, if you're speaking in tongues, then the Spirit came to you, and that's your day, and that's your time, and that's whatever. They have to point to something. But see, like we talked about earlier, It's stealing God's glory. It's something you did. But God is saying, no, it's not anything that you did. He did everything. He elected you. He chose you to salvation from the beginning. That's why he has to get all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for our salvation. And no one or nothing is to get anything outside of that. This is all through the scripture. God, he's not going to share that with someone else. He's not going to give. Sometimes they say, well, he did 99%. And you just have to do this one little thing, this one little extra. It's so tiny, it's just as if it's nothing. But if you mention it, it's something. And let's turn to, I just want to read this verse in Ephesians chapter 2. And we hear it over and over and over again. In Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, God makes it pretty plain right there that it's not of works. Because if it was of works, then you would boast about it. You would brag about it. Because he knows us. He knows our frame. We have that little bit of pride that's in us that we just have to do something. Even if it's just this one little thing. I accepted him. Oh, that's enough. They say it's enough. See? And I'm sure a lot of us used to think that way till the Lord opened our eyes. He had to open our eyes. Someone in our same household can be sitting right next to us, and they can't see what you're talking about. And it hurts. Yes, it does hurt. But God is the one that makes those decisions. Now, maybe that individual, he or she, those eyes aren't open at the precise moment that your eyes is open, but that doesn't mean that the Lord is not going to open their eyes. There's always that hope of salvation. Today is still the day of salvation. And we all, one time or another, had to have our eyes open. And that's why it's so important that we don't brag or boast about whatever it is we know, or the fact that we're saved and this individual is not saved. Because the Bible says, there go I, but for the grace of God. We pray for these, and we pray for them that the Lord might save them. And then at the same time, we have to continually examine our own selves. Excuse me. We have to examine ourselves. The Lord tells us that quite often. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. Okay, let's go back to John chapter 10. Now it says that we was talking about his sheep hearing his voice. And his voice is the word of God. Let's turn to John 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm sure that this is one of the many verses that we have memorized. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, we're talking about the voice of the Lord. Now we know it's His Word. And then His Word is the Lord Jesus. Because in verse 14, And the Word was made, yes, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. And here it is. It's right in front of us. The Lord is. When we read this Word, we are actually, God is talking to us when we read this Word. When we want to talk to Him, we talk to Him in prayer. That's the whole communication process right there. There's nothing else. Now, in the Old Testament, in sundry times, God brought His Word through the prophets, and they would declare His Word. But what the prophets did is what we do. When we witness to someone, we're declaring what God said. At no time anyone up here is going to really express what they say. Now, we may use an example, but when it comes to God's Word, then it's God is the one that's speaking. He's the one that's saying whatever the verse is, whatever the problem is, God is the one that's saying it. Now, He may have used Peter, Paul, different writers in the Bible to write His Word down, but God is the one that's speaking, and we need to. God has to open our eyes to that fact. And the other thing is we can't make someone else see that. That's the other thing. We can't make someone else see that. You know, can't you see that? How many times have I said that to someone years ago? Can't you see that? But I didn't know. I didn't realize what God was doing. He was opening my eyes, but yet a person right next to you, he hasn't opened their eyes as of yet. Does not mean he will not, but there's still hope. But we can't get angry at that individual because they cannot see that. It's right there. It's right there. Can't you see it? But they can't see it because God hasn't opened their eyes. And so, this is how the child of God hears His voice. Now, we'll give a couple more examples in Isaiah 55. Turn to Isaiah 55. I'll just use this one other verse here. In Isaiah 55, and in verse 3, He says, "Incline your ear and come unto Me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." See, if we do hear His voice, when He opens our ears to hear, and our eyes that we might see, it says, our soul shall live. Our soul shall live. So this word is powerful. God uses His word to save His people. And then back to John 10, the next phrase he says, he calleth his own sheep by name. And that's personal. That's pretty personal right there. Now we getting, I mean, he knows my name. He, the one that spoke and the world leaped into being, the one that created all the worlds, the universe, where you can't, I tell you, some of those science shows that show you what is out there, it just boggles my mind. It boggles my mind. Number one, that is out there. And number two, that these people that are so intelligent think that that all this happened through a big bang. But see, their eyes aren't open, is what it is. God has not opened their eyes. But see, I look past that, and I just be praising the Lord. Oh, man. And we're the only planet that where's life. They've been looking and looking and looking. There's no other life nowhere else. Oh, yes, it is. Is this? Is it? And well, when you find it, let me know. That's how it is. But he knows us by name. By name. He knows my name. My name. And each one of us can say that. He knows my name. That's so precious. It's so very precious. He knows my name. And he tells us in Revelation 13, and verse 7 and 8, it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he said, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So the ones that are written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world, if you're saved, your name is written in that book. It's written there. It doesn't do any good to change your name. Or sometimes you're changing for different reasons or whatever, but if your name is in that book, it's going to be the name that you were born with. I would venture to say it's not. It's only a speculation, but it would have to be your name. And then in Revelation 17, and then I'm going to close with this one. In Revelation 17 and in verse 8, it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. You see, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. God knows your name. And so what we're going to do is we're going to stop here, and maybe we'll pick it up next time, Lord willing, when we come. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your precious, precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you give us your word. You guide us through life. There's nothing new under the sun. We can find comfort in your word for whatever ails us. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. Sometimes we're not always sad and we're not always happy. But Lord, you have something for us on either side in your word. If we're feeling sad, we can read a verse and it will make us glad. If we're happy, Lord, we can still be happier. Read certain verses and just be extremely happy. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you how you care for us. We thank you again and again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.